This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 9th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For great customer service and a really good deal, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. I started to talk about something at the end of the show last night and really didn't get to it. And I think it's important we discuss it. Not really an issue from the standpoint of politics or anything like that, but absolutely something that might impact you. And it's amazing to me how many people do not realize how easy it is for this to occur, and more to the point, how hard it is for you to regain your assets. And what we're talking about here, and everybody's got a story, you know, we hear those commercials on WGN all the time about elder situations where, elder relatives are taken advantage of, very often by family members or others. And so you're aware it happens, I know. But let me give you this case, and this might is somewhat extreme, but not really. Then we're going to talk about exactly what you can do, because there are things. And so it was that a woman in Baltimore had a father in South Carolina who was, he had Parkinson's, and he had some brain damage. Now, he was still cogent and certainly capable of making a decision. He wasn't yet at the point of dementia, but still, that was not far from their mind. So the woman in Baltimore, she couldn't move her father to Baltimore for reasons I don't know, but she hires a nurse as a caretaker and checks all the references and all. It's a registered nurse and all those kind of things. So, but then suddenly she's not hearing from her dad, and after a while she decides I got to go down there. And so she drives to South Carolina, arrives at the house, and discovers her key doesn't work. The doorbell had been replaced by a Ring doorbell camera. When she rang it, the voice who answered said her dad had passed away 3 days earlier. More good news. And wouldn't, blocked her from entering. So Nora climbed through an open window to investigate. After all, family owns the house. Her father is gone. But so was every trace of him. A new family had moved in. The walls were painted a different color, orange, as a matter of fact. The family photos were replaced by photos of strangers to her. But, of course, it gets worse because, as you can imagine, the woman now living there calls the cops, accusing her of breaking into the house, and has her arrested. She winds up in jail for 3 days before the charges were dropped because it was obvious after a thorough investigation that she wasn't trespassing on her own property. Now, the nurse, it turns out, had been hired 3 months earlier, and as the woman from Baltimore is saying, I hired her to care from him, not steal from him. Well, regardless, a month after this nurse was hired, Nora's father was moved into a senior living facility. Now, by the way, that's the first red flag in terms of this woman had some responsibility, too, because she should have known her father was not there. She should have been in better touch than that, but she wasn't. In the meantime, in addition to moving him into a senior living facility, the nurse was named his power of attorney. The deed to his house was transferred to her for $5. Bank statements show that money was transferred from the woman's father's account into the nurse's account before and after he died. Now, at this point, and we're not going to have the argument of why she should have been in better touch, and of course she should have, but at this point, you're probably under the impression that, well, this is a criminal matter. Oh, no, this is a civil matter. You are going to have to hire an attorney at expense to you. The likelihood that you will get the money back is pretty close to nil. Oh, yeah, eventually you may wind up getting the house back, but a lot of the equity will be spent doing just that. Now, sometimes it's somebody that the victim knows, like, you know, grandchild who's just borrowing money, whatever. Sometimes it's as out there as the investment schemes where people are plying upon the elderly and others for these get-rich-quick schemes on the phone and all that. But often it's going to be a caregiver. And now, of course, you might think, but I've checked. I've done all my due diligence. Well, AARP did a study and found out that victims of this type of situation who are over the age of 60 are losing $28.3 billion every year in the United States. And by the way, 72% of those cases, it's committed by someone the victim knows. And again, as opposed to the guy on the phone trying to do an investment scheme, this is either a relative or family member, somebody trusted or somebody hired who is trusted. And if you think this couldn't happen, it does happen. And I know you're probably aware of that. But what you may not be aware of is how hard it is to reclaim anything. And again, most likely that you'll reclaim the money itself is pretty much forget about it. But as for the property, and this is true, by the way, for title theft, and we're seeing a lot of that these days, too. The fact that everything is online, the reality hasn't caught up with the internet yet to see how easy it is to commit things like title theft. And again, those that do it, while ultimately they might be behind the eight ball, more often than not get away with it, or certainly a lot longer than you would think they would. Now, you might say, but there are laws in place. Well, yeah. To a degree, there are. But ultimately, this is going to come down to you if you have an aging family member. Bottom line is the first thing to do is at least get a durable power of attorney for financial decisions in the event of a health crisis. In other words, it doesn't kick in until the individual is not able to handle things themselves. Now, depending on the situation, if you can get a power of attorney immediately, that's good too for protection. But very often, if it's somebody who still has their wits about them, they're not too likely to want to give up that control, and that's fine. Durable power of attorneys will work. All right, do this while the individual still has mental faculties, because of course you don't want it challenged later, say by another family member or what have you. So that's number one. And of course, make everyone aware, the banks and such of that, that there is a durable financial power of attorney in place. The other thing, of course, is if you're hiring a caretaker, no matter what, use a licensed bonded home care agency. Check their credentials and have the caregiver sign a formal contract on what's going to be taking place here. And if they're loath to do it, you've got a problem right there. And you also can do things like, for instance, if this person is going to be living with them and handling day-to-day expenses and all that, instead of giving them any access to the bank accounts, provide them with a prepaid debit card for groceries and other items. There are also ways for view-only access to bank accounts, so you can monitor suspicious activity, such as unexplained withdrawals early on in the game. Of course, if you suspect fraud or theft, you're going to want to contact Adult Protective Services, and every state has one. And if the individual is already in a nursing home, call your long-term care ombudsman. But again, this is just part of the story. When a property deed was transferred or a will was changed while the elder was a questionable mind or whatever, that too is a form of fraud, But again, you're going to be hiring an elder law attorney, and you're going to have to go through all the steps. I would certainly say forewarned is forearmed. If you have somebody in this situation and you cannot be there regularly, and I hate to say it, but shame on you if you can't. But if you can't, if you're trusting others, or even if it's you have family members who maybe because of their history you're saying, well, they might be a little nefarious given the opportunity. Fine. Make sure you don't give them that opportunity. And have the documents in place first. And be very aware, because again, you may be thinking, well, if that happens, I'll be made whole. As I say, the chances you'll see any of the money are almost nil. And the chances are you'll get your property back. Well, I think you will, actually, but not without losing a good portion, if not all, of the equities to do it. So be afraid. Be very afraid. So I just wanted to get that out there, almost as a public service. So now you know. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get on to happier things, I do hope. Eduardo is in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Boy, it's been a while since I've been the first caller.
And you are?
Yeah. Well, I've been checking other people and making sure they're talking about important things.
Well, no, we don't talk
about politics.
We don't talk about important things, obviously. That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Here's a song I want to request. Obviously, this the most popular song by this group is Eye of the Tiger. But I wanted to request
Survivor.
Burning Heart by Survivor.
Survivor,
yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll add this to the list.
Tomorrow I'm going to go in for a filling.
Oh, yeah?
My final filling, because I had three of them in August. So I had to do four total. So tomorrow's the final one.
All right. Where is it located?
I think it's the top right.
All right. The only time they're dicey, I had one recently, is when you get the fillings that are between two teeth. You know, it's like you got to drill down from the top to get to the side. So, and it's still not a problem, but it just takes a little longer and takes a little more, a few more shots of Xylocaine or whatever they give you. Well, it'll be painless, as you know. Thank God dentistry at this point is no longer a horror.
The other three were,
Yeah, and this will be
too. So I'm confident this one will be, will be fine.
Yep, just more expensive than you'd
And then
like.
I get to donate blood on Friday, so.
All right. Well, very good. That means you're healthy enough to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll call back tomorrow. I'm sure I'll have something very interesting. I would like to call you on Thursday before the weekend.
That sounds good to me. I'll look forward to it. Thanks,
okay.
Eduardo.
All right. Thank you very much.
888-876-5593. We'll get to Ruth and Gurney here in a moment. But a couple things. Firstly, Amy sent me an email saying she hadn't heard William Bell until we played Any Other Way yesterday. I'm like, you haven't heard William Bell? Well, we're going to fix that tonight. We'll do a Judy Clay and William Bell private number, of course. And we'll also try, what's coming up next on WGN Radio.
Trying to love too. When you're trying to love too, it sure ain't easy to do. I've got a woman at home, as sweet as can be. A woman on the outside, crazy about me. I'm caught in the middle of a three-way love affair. Caught up in this triangle, can't go nowhere. Sure ain't easy to do. When you're trying to love too, oh, it ain't easy to do, no. I need to be three men in one to get my job done. I need a 30-hour day, two jobs with double pay. I need a man to go to work, a man to stay at home. I need a man on the outside to keep my woman strong. Trying to love too, sure ain't easy to do, no. When you're trying to love too, oh, it ain't easy to do.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That was a big, big hit for William Bell, actually mid-70s on Mercury after Stax had fallen apart. Arguably his biggest record ever. But not nice, nice song. But well, he's a Memphis boy through and through, born in 1939 there. It was with the Del Rios for a while on Meteor. Meteor was a little local label that Les Bahari had, and one of the Bahari brothers. And it was Les, one of the Bahari brothers, but right, the one in Memphis, no doubt. His first solo effort on Stax was You Don't Miss Your Water to the Well Run Drive, which was actually, for Stax at the time, a big hit. And he was there a couple of years until he was drafted in the service, so he was gone for 2 years. But when he came back by about 67, he released a solo album on Stax, and then some other stuff. And then in 69, he got out of Memphis. He moved to Atlanta, started his own little label, and then back on Stax, and then went to Mercury. And that was a deal. But we'll play some more. Maybe I Forgot to Be Your Lover. That was a fine Stax record. Or something with Judy Clay and William Bell. I think so. So Amy, before the hour's over, will know him well. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we've got about a minute before the news, and we'll kick it off with the headlines from Ruth and Gertie and then get the whole story after the news. So, Ruth, what's going on?
Hi, Raleigh. I have about a 2 or 3 minute conversation that I wanted to do for weeks and months.
Okay.
And I want to ask a question of Fran when she had gone to get an eye exam. This starts in 2025 in December.
Okay.
And I've been to a medical facility for 4 to 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And when I did go to the clinic, I had gotten the transportation from them so that I could get there back and forth without calling paratransit. So December 25, somebody does not put in my information for whatever it was that I was going, and I didn't go. Okay, free appointment.
Okay, now hang on. Don't go away. That sounds like a lousy Christmas present already. We're going to do the news, come back, and hear all the details. Don't go away, Ruth. All right, we'll pick it up right there, right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
Have I told you lately that I love you? Well, if I didn't, darling, I'm sorry. Did I reach out and hold you in my loving arms? Oh, when you needed me. Now I realize that you need love too, and I'll spend my life making up to you. Got to be your lover, and I'm so sorry. Have I taken the time to share with you all the burden that lovers bear? How much I care. Oh, I've been working for you, doing all I can, but work all the time didn't make me a man. Oh, I forgot to be your lover.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. William Bell, 1968, Stax, I Forgot to Be Your Lover. Booker T. Jones produced that, and Booker T. and William Bell wrote it. So many from which to choose. I was thinking about maybe every day will be like a holiday, but got to do Private Number next because it was a big beach record. All right, so back to Ruth in Gurnee, who got a lousy Christmas present December of 2025. So pick it up there.
Okay, real quickly. Before I get into the scenario of the going why I went to a doctor and was looking for it and what I got, the reason for it, I've been cut off from my caregiver as of Friday afternoon, a little after 4 o'clock. My current caregiver was here and already knew and did not tell me. She took the box of gloves that I had paid for several times with her, so that was an indication that she knew she wasn't coming back. At 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon with a holiday weekend, Catholic Charities Round Lake And this had happened for 2 months back at the beginning of the year. No caregiver. And I got that taken care of through Protective Services. And I got back and got an extra $3 added on to me, but now a week. So now I'm gone with $8. I may be leaving Gurnee for a homeless shelter so that I don't have any diapers from Medicare cut off. And I have to protect myself that I get somebody coming in, or I am in a location where I get the things that I need in assisted living, maybe, but that takes a waiting list and a long time. So my best alternative to handle the no caregiver, and they have Catholic Charities gift program. Nobody needs their birth certificate. Where I'm in from the city of Chicago in a Catholic hospital, they don't need a birth certificate for that or any other numbers of things. With all my legal documents, I should not have to go through this, especially at my age. This is not disability accessible. 114 Lincoln Avenue, Round Lake Catholic Charities. Back to the medical thing. This is where it becomes really interesting with manipulation of computers. So I'm going to get another appointment in January for a free appointment. So, okay, I'm a little bit miffed for this reason. I didn't get to go to my high school reunion in September, and I cried a lot. Sister Jean had been to one year before. I cried so much, and I kept wiping away those tears, ink spot tears, overflowing. I didn't get to go to Holy Hill in Wisconsin. I found out about that on a Friday afternoon, 2 weeks late on the bulletin.
Right.
The bus was leaving St. Paul at 9 in the morning, and I didn't have a reservation.
We got to get back. We got to get back to the facts, Ruth. You do this all the time.
I'm crying.
All right. Well, very good.
I'm crying over three things.
Okay. Fine.
And I didn't. And I'm wiping my eyes.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, I've got sounds like snitch, but starts with a B in my eyes, and I think it might be a bacteria. Now, Cindy says that you remove these little beads in your eyes, and they had a name for it, whatever. In the morning, my eyes don't open up, and I got to pull all these things out, and they're caught in the lashes. Okay, so I call in January for a clinic, but I'm going to go to a health club first and then the clinic afterwards, and it's 9 degrees below zero. January was really cold, 2026. So I'm waiting for the bus to come to get me, and they go to pick me up at the health club instead of coming to my residence and take me there, and then I don't get to go to my clinic.
Right.
Okay, come this February, I'm going to go to the clinic, and I'll find out from the doctor, do I have an infection, blah, blah, blah. So the van that's going to pick me up, send the van to a nursing home in Zion. And so I tell my caregiver, I call them, and the answering service says we can't get them by computer or on phone. And so I get my caregiver, who took the wash, go down the street, tell them I'm waiting outside for an hour and a half,
right,
9 degrees below zero.
Right.
So no clinic appointment in February. And then I decide I'm waiting for the warm weather, which is what I did in July. I did get to the clinic.
July?
And then the
This was a problem from December? It's a wonder you could see it all.
No, it was a problem from October.
Well, regardless, okay, it's still ridiculous.
No, St. Lucie's a martyr saint. She's in charge of the eyes.
Okay, so eventually in July, you're still seeing miraculously. You get to the clinic and?
Yeah, she tells me that there's nothing wrong with my eyes.
Excellent.
And there other tests are down there in post. So I don't believe her as far as discrepancy in the medical report and other.
All right.
So I decide that I'm going to take the bull by the horn. So this is what I did. I went for an appointment a week and a half ago to an optometrist, and I paid for the out-of-pocket fee because Medicare does not cover this particular optometrist. So I did not know that I would have to get out of my wheelchair to get into the thing to look into the machine. I have perfect 20/20 vision and have had it all my life. and never had any kind of an eye exam done to figure out any of these things. But what happened to Fran when she was said she was going for a bacteria infection? What did the doctor or the optometrist tell her? I'm curious. While my optometrist did give me eye drops, and I broke the itch in the word, sounds like W, itchcraft. I dislodged the itch. So I've got the eye drops, and I'm curing that through the optometrist. And I did manage to get assistance to be able to get into their seat so that I could look into the apparatus. And he told me that I didn't have any eye infection.
Well, good news.
I had
All that is good news, Ruth. Just take it as that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, pre-prepared about when you're going to go to an eye doctor. And if you're in a wheelchair, you're not going to be able to pull right up to where the equipment is. I had no idea of that. And I'm curious about Fran. What happened with her eye infection? What did the doctor tell
her? All right, we'll find out.
I want to hear.
Well, I'm glad things are better, even though you don't think so. Thanks, Ruth. Appreciate it. All right, so, wow. Now, we'll get to Rita in a moment. There's room for you, too. But I want to change this up to something pleasant, and that is the Sea Crane Company. And if you like listening to the radio, oh man, have I got a radio for you. It's actually not a radio at all. If you've got a wireless access point, a wireless router, something like that, you need the CC Wi-Fi 3. I'll tell you what, it is easy to use and it is wonderful. It will connect to even the most lackluster wireless router without any problem. There's no apps to download, no monthly fees, no ads on the screen, no microphones listening in. And it is just terrific because you will listen to whatever you want to hear. And I mean tens of thousands of stations from which to choose with crystal clear audio, no static, no fading. And it's just terrific. Maybe you listen to a station that you're picking up, but not all that well. Well, chances are they stream and chances are you can hear them with absolute clarity. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. My favorite part about it is ease of use. Put one in front of John's desk, and he is somewhat challenged by things like this, but boy, he plugged it in and had WGN on within moments. So it is easy to use, and as I say, if you have a lackluster wireless router and things are always dropping or buffering or all that, man, the CC Wi-Fi 3 will probably end that. This week only, save $10. Yeah, that's a good deal if you're buying. Now, for some reason, well, maybe you've got some questions, or you can't go online. If you can't go online, you're probably buying this for a friend or a relative. But if you can go online and you need questions, either way, give them a call. They've got great customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. You look at the CC Wi-Fi 3. I think you'll be as impressed as I am, and even more impressed that you'll save $10 this week. Tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Strange. Welcome home. things are wrong. So I'm saying, baby, baby, baby.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is William Bell and Judy Clay, 1968. I think that song alone is why he's in the Beach Music Hall of Fame. Big Beach Music record. And a ton of records as well. So there you have some William Bell stuff. 888-876-5593. I hope Amy liked it and hope you did too. Rita in Harwood Heights. Let's see what's going on in Harwood Heights tonight. So, all right, Rita, what's happening?
Oh, hi. I was in a car accident in May.
Oh.
And after the car accident, on the dash came the brake light, a little triangle light, mm-hmm. and a skid light type of light.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to Honda, because I have a Honda.
Right.
I went back to the Honda dealer, and they told me that all of their cars are taken care of by a place in Skokie. So I went there and had the repair shop done, but they only did the body work. They didn't do anything else. And so I was left with, and they gave me the car back, and I still had those lights on in the dash.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the main Honda place up here on Waukegan Road,
mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, well, they could fix it, but they didn't have the equipment.
Right.
I would have to buy their equipment.
What?
In order to fix it.
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So they wanted me to pay $4,000 something dollars.
No. This can't be the only Honda dealer you could go to.
Well, no, there is another one out on River Road, and which I used to go to. But anyway, this place is supposed to be big. It's supposed to be modern. It's supposed to have everything you need. And so that's why I went there.
But they don't. Let me ask you something. Was the accident your fault?
No.
Okay. So you're using someone else's insurance to repair your car, right?
Right.
Well, the bottom line is your car is not repaired yet. It is their responsibility to fix it.
Right.
So I wouldn't bother doing this on your own. I'd call their insurance and say, hey, my car is not fixed.
Yeah. Well, I have already done
okay,
that.
And so what did they say?
Well, they said that they would prefer I go to an Allstate approved place.
Well, then ask for a list. Say, hey,
yeah, so
I'll go wherever you want. You're paying for it.
They gave me a couple of places.
All right.
On a Tuesday, they're going to call me back and see which one I've decided to go to.
Okay.
So I'll do that.
Problem solved.
And hopefully that those people will know what to do.
Well, the bottom line is you should never act on your own on something like this because it may eliminate their need to reimburse you. What you want to do is take their advice from the get-go to find out, hey, you're paying. Where do you want me to go? And you're doing that now. So hopefully you will come away without any type of a bill whatsoever.
Well, the first place that they had wanted me to go to, that Honda approved of, was some place in an area that was not desirable.
All right, and so you say, hey, I can't get there. And that's fine. They'll give you alternatives, and they did, right?
Yeah, they finally did.
Yeah, right. So you've got alternatives. You can get there. You should get there. You know, for an accident that happened in May, you're lucky that they're still willing to take responsibility because they might have said, hey, we fixed the collision damage. The rest is on you.
Well, it's an old car, so they want to know, too.
Well,
they're not, these things are just because of wear and tear.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying, where they would put it on you. But what you're saying is I did not have this problem before the accident.
No, I did not.
This started after the accident. The other thing with an older car, you're lucky they repaired it because very often they just total them. And they give you a check for what they think it's worth. And you have a little leeway to fight that, but not as much as you'd like. So the fact that they're still working with you is actually kudos to them for doing it. Probably if it were me, I'd just say, hey, you're on your own. So this is good. So I'd follow whatever they tell you to do. As long as they're picking up the check, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, is the car drivable with the warning lights?
It is drivable.
Okay.
Yes, it is drivable. And they said, you know, I can take it. I mean, I just go short distances anyway. And I have a limited myself, you know, more night driving.
Well, yeah, but when you're talking about, you know, obviously there's some computer involved in this. It's a new enough car that that's the case. And I'm not so much worried about your traction and all that, but you don't want your brakes to fail, no matter what. So you want to fix this. And especially if you can fix it at someone else's expense, consider this a gift. Go for it and good luck.
Yeah, you know, the other thing is I feel like I'm living in another world because I haven't had a smartphone.
And that's fine. If you don't want one, you don't need one.
Well, I do want one. I did want one. And I went to Walmart and I bought one for $55.
All right.
And it's an AT&T. And I've been having, I'm not of this century. I'm just having major, major problems trying to get used to it. I can't imagine anybody with
well,
low vision.
When you say it's an AT&T, AT&T doesn't actually make the phones, but they may brand them, but they're not making them. I assume you're using AT&T's cellular service, and that's not a problem. You're connecting and all those kind of things, right?
Right.
Okay, good. So we don't have a problem there. So the learning curve, yeah. It can be daunting, but there's almost everything online that you can find, including just typing your problem into a Google search. You'll get an AI answer. And so,
well,
you know, if you're saying I want to do this, whatever it is, on my iPhone, and I don't know how, it will give you step by step instructions. Yeah, it may not be an iPhone, it may be an Android, I don't know, whatever it is. You know, it'll tell you. So sure.
Well, I've been lucky to have an Eisenhower library by me.
And that's good too. But believe me, while I'm not gung-ho for AI for a lot of things, and I would always watch the advice it was giving me no matter what, when it comes to things like how to use your smartphone, it's pretty darn good. So don't hesitate. If there's something you're trying to do, just type it into your search bar and see what comes up.
Well, yeah, at Eisenhower Library, they've got the media people.
Well, yeah, if you want people, but when you're sitting there at 2 in the morning or whatever and you want to use your phone, you won't have the library. So this is something you can do at home on your own.
Yeah, I've been practicing, but I keep missing everything up.
Well, you'll get it. Patience is a virtue. You will get it. Yeah. All right, good luck to you, Rita. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so there you have it. 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, two more hours of whatever's on your mind and your requests. One of Jimmy P's six-pack up next on WGN Radio. On Dory. Yeah, a wonderful period of time for them and a wonderful little Los Angeles label. And that was one of Jimmy P's six packs, and a fine choice it was, as far as I'm concerned. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh James on the South Side. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Are you there, James?
Hello?
Oh, there you are. I hear noises.
Okay.
Okay, good, good. Still using that cell phone. Major error. All right. So, your stories. I must say, I wasted an awful lot of time today on one of your stories. It's National Ampersand Day yesterday. We missed it. We didn't celebrate. But as I read the article in terms of where the hell this came from, they claimed that a single character formed by combining two letters that were written so often together that scribes began fusing them into one efficient mark, the two letters E and T. And et was Latin word for and. So you write a lowercase e and t together quickly enough, in cursive, often enough, and you will get an ampersand. No, you will not. I spent almost an hour with this today. I didn't get anything that resembles an ampersand. So I don't
know.
Oh, did you try it also?
I've tried it in the past, and it's never happened.
Yeah, absolutely. So National Ampersand Day is leading us down the wrong garden path. And so apparently it has an interesting history, medieval manuscript culture and all of that. And to go back in time, ancient Roman scribes writing the Latin conjunction et, meaning you, so frequently fused it into this ampersand. I still don't get it. I mean, I don't care if you're showing pictures on a cave wall. E and T don't look like an ampersand, even if you turn it upside down. And so they're saying they saw it in Pompeian graffiti. No. Documents from roughly the first century, where the E and T are visibly merged but still recognizable. No. And so if there's anybody listening who has successfully evolved the ampersand from E and T, let me know what it was. And then, of course, they talk about the alphabetic origins and all of that. And the history of the word ampersand, which is also out there, school children using per se after alphabet letters, A per se, ampersand, you know, somebody's got too much time on their hands.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, that's just like National Bowtie Day the other day.
National Bowtie Day. That's interesting. Well, at least with bow ties, you can almost guess that there's a bow tie manufacturer behind that somewhere. But I can't imagine who would sponsor the ampersand.
I don't either. I really don't. I kept thinking an E and a T. At that point, I said, Shakespeare said, it's true, a Buddhist. That's why I was thinking after that.
Yeah, we also have the kitten involved in the bank robbery. Well, I guess if you're looking for a distraction, why not? But that's a little out there, too.
Yeah, I mean, he stole the kitten from a rescue shelter.
Right.
Ran across the bank, ran across the street to the bank, handed the kitten to a bank manager, then wrote his notes, gave it to a teller. I was like thinking, did this guy watch Benny Hill or something?
Yeah, it's interesting. He actually wasn't a shelter. It was a pet supplies food store, pet store that also had an adoption area for cats. Using a nearby key to open the enclosure, he picked up a 3.5-month-old black and white tuxedo, Magnolia, and left, clutching the kitten, going to the PNC Bank in the same shopping center. Convenient. Witnesses confirmed he ran directly there. Now, you wonder, did he think about this before this caper, or was this an on-the-spot impromptu move? Inside the bank, he walked up to the manager, asked the manager to hold the kitten. While the manager held Magnolia, the man wrote a note demanding cash and handed it to a teller. You know, this was not well thought out, and of course, Prince George County Police arrived quickly, took the man into custody, and Magnolia was found safe in the bank manager's office. And apparently, after all this publicity, they found an owner.
Yeah, at least the kid is made out like a bandit.
Yeah, got 21 applications for adoption. As far as that goes. So Magnolia has now retired from her life of crime and is a reformed feline, enjoying toys, treats, and cuddles. Very good. So, yeah. That, but again, you really would like an interview with the would-be criminal to say, what were you thinking? Yeah, it's...
You begin to think that he must have been watching Benny Hill.
I don't know,
either Benny Hill or the Three Stooges.
Well, it's interesting in that I would agree that it certainly, that cat certainly was a weapon of mass distraction, but he didn't follow through with any way that was going to successfully allow him to rob the bank. So he got part of the equation, but I guess he was in too much of a hurry to figure out the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, at least he can tell that tale to his cellmates.
Yeah, there you are. Meanwhile, Alex Trebek, yes, apparently even more generous in death, donated 74 acres of open land in the Hollywood Hills to the Santa Monica Mountain Conservatory. So that's nice for Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, then there was the guy who found his wedding ring after he had lost it at the Air and Water Show.
Oh, yes. Yes. Or it found him.
Yeah. And, okay, who knows? Maybe we're not going to suggest how he lost it in the first place.
Well, there is that. Okay, so now back to that four-letter F-word, food. Apparently, there is a researcher who has eaten every fast food French fry, which we started to talk about. But it's very, very interesting that In-N-Out is number 13. I would not go there. I recognize for their French fries, I recognize they're fresh, but they always taste like they're cotton to me. Steak Shake comes in at Shake Shack. I'm sorry, Shake Shack comes in at number 12. And the problem there is the oil, and a lot of people saying it tastes like old cooking grease. Well, I don't know. Hardee's and Carl's Jr. comes in at 11. Taco Bell at 10. Yeah, we talked about this before. I've yet to find somebody who ordered French fries at Taco Bell. Have you done it?
Oh, I haven't, but I knew a friend who did like the nacho fries.
Well, but the word nacho kind of makes it perfect for Taco Bell. But nude French fries, you don't normally think of Taco Bell as the place to, in fact, order that. And I think it's only fair, if you're comparing fry to fry, that they do be naked.
Yeah.
Now, Arby's comes in at number 9. The curly fries, man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, maybe if it's right out of the fryer, but other than that, I don't think you want them to languish. All right, so Burger King, yes, Wendy's, and Five Guys, and on, Chick-fil-A. Again, Chick-fil-A. Waffle fries are great if you get them right out of the fryer, but you almost have to stand there and ask them to do that. Raising Cane's, I must admit I haven't tried theirs, but they look lovely, don't they? Now, here again, Del Taco, number 3. Well, this guy's out of it. I don't think anybody's ever gone to Del Taco saying, I want the French fries. But apparently, this guy says no oil aftertaste. So there you go. Now, McDonald's coming in at number 2, and Checkers Rallies being number 1. All right.
Well, I would agree that Checkers does have a good fry.
Yeah, right.
They do.
They look good in the picture.
Yeah.
But then again, they're more than just fries, as you know. They beer batter them.
Yeah. So you can't resist them.
Yeah. Now,
it's like
Burger King used to coat their fries too for a long while. They had a big opening of that decade and a half ago. I don't know if they still do, but
they kind of sometimes if you get them real hot, you can't resist them. You just like pop them down like a candy, and then there are other times when you kind of ask, what happened here?
Oh, God, yeah. All right, so consistency might be an issue. All right, so we have more food recalls, as noted. Mangoes being on your list, and apparently discovered in Mamaroneck, New York. Yes, good old Westchester County, recalling 302 boxes of Martina-branded mangoes. I must admit, I've never gone to a store and bought mangoes, but apparently they're on the shelf.
Oh, I have. And usually, here's the thing. If you get a mango, then, okay, the best way sometimes to have them is before they get ripe, and just let them get ripe.
Oh.
Other times, okay, you get a ripe one, and then you have an idea what you want to do with it. Make it into a smoothie or make some sort of ice cream or sherbet out of them. Okay.
Mm.
But the problem is when you get a mango and you realize that you've gotten one that is not just over, just ripe, it's overripe.
All right. Well, this is something to keep in mind. So, as usual, some fine stories to share. Anything else I'm missing that floats your boat?
Let's see. There was the... I think there was one that I was going to talk about, but I said, I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about it.
It's probably the Fleetwood Mac cover band, perhaps. But then there was also intermittent fasting and eating for training, and an article on why this individual stopped intermittent fasting. But obviously, the bottom line to that story was he wanted a miracle. He wanted to be able to eat and lose weight. It doesn't work quite that well.
It does. And in fact, you ruin your body. You pretty much ruined everything for you. Then, of course, then there was the obvious study that I wonder why. I mean, I can understand part of the reason they did this study, the study about heat leaks, heat to increase the
awesome. Yeah, I wasn't even going to go there because I hope to hell they didn't spend any tax dollars on that. But the idea that during heat waves there's more emergency room visits, I'm sorry, that does not take a study. Nobody. It was Northwestern University who studied extreme heat links to spike in Chicago ER visits. You don't need the study, of course. So I don't know. I don't understand why. If somebody's going for their PhD, as far as I'm concerned, they failed.
Yeah, then there was the one that I hope they finally caught up with this one, the coyote with a growth on her face.
Oh, yeah. Do we have any follow-up on that?
No, I haven't heard anything on that one. And I think, there was two ballpark-related ones. There was the ball player who got onto Broadway.
Oh, I think I missed the story entirely.
And then, of course, and speaking of New York again, the Mets hosted the first ever singles night.
How did it go?
Apparently they got at least it was a kind of a smashing success. At least they got quite a crowd.
How about that? And that was in August, August 27th. 1,300 people attended. It was a sold-out special ticketed event organized with Time Out, Hot, and social creator Liv Schreiber. Okay, so attendees enjoyed pregame mixers, lawn games, and designated single seating sections across different tiers of the stadium. So a color-coded wristband identified the hapless victims. Green, single. Yellow, it's complicated. Red, taken, here to support a friend. Okay.
Yeah, so I'd say at least it was something other than people looking at their phone.
Well, that's true enough. We hope they were looking at each other. And it'll be interesting to see whether or not this causes any relationships to develop. I'm sure there'll be a follow-up.
Yes, and if it works, I would not be. You know how teams like to copy things, so would not be surprised if some other stadium follows.
Oh yeah, well obviously it was sold out. That's enough to have somebody else do it, of course. All right, good deal. Wonderful stories as always. Thank you.
Okay, you have a nice.
Appreciate
evening.
That. Yeah. I love the singles nights that they would have at grocery stores where they'd, you know, have fruit bowling, basically, things of that nature. But I have no idea. I haven't heard yet of anybody who was willing to admit that they met their mate in such a venue. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, yes, absolutely useless information is us and your requests, too, coming up on WGN Radio.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath.
Skyliners right there. I'll play it again. There's a story behind that as well, and it's one of GNG's six packs. But right now, we'll check out the news on WGN Radio.
John Williams keeps you company and informed middays, 10 to 2 on WGN.
It's 72 degrees now under mostly cloudy skies at O'Hare. It's 11:30. Good evening. I'm David Jennings, WGN Radio News. A sad end to a shooting in Des Plaines this afternoon. Brewers 8-6 over the Cubs. Pirates 4-2 beat the White Sox. Miami and the Fire played to a 1-1 tie. On the expressways and the tollways right now. On the Kennedy outbound, it is 36 minutes. The outbound Ike is up to 42 minutes right now. A 21-year-old man is dead. He was shot by Des Plaines police during a domestic disturbance this afternoon. It happened in the 2000 block of Toohey, where police say officers were responding to a report of a domestic disturbance. State lawmakers looking at possible legislation that would hold gun makers accountable for some of the costs of gun violence. The state spends about $20 billion every year for emergency services, funerals, and law enforcement. The responsibility in firearms legislation would require gun makers to make a contribution to a state fund to offset some of those costs. Walmart running with Dunkin' in a new delivery partnership. The retail giant's expanding its restaurant delivery business with Inspire Brands, the parent of Dunkin'. It will allow customers to order drinks and food along with their Walmart delivery order in the shopping app. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Partly cloudy, 63 overnight, sunny and 80 tomorrow, mostly sunny, 82 on Friday. It is 72 at O'Hare and Midway, 69 in South Bend. Chicago News on demand, 24/7, online, on the app, and on your smart speaker. I'm David Jennings, WGN Radio News.
It's the 2026 WGN Radio's Best Deli Tournament.
Round of 64.
64 of Chicagoland's best delis are going head-to-head for supreme bragging rights. Old school favorites, family-owned shops, and local neighborhood legends all battling for the title. Who's got the best sandwich? Who's got the best sub? Who's got what it takes to win it all? So grab your family, get out there, and eat your way through the bracket. Then head to WGNradio.com to cast your vote. There's no committee, no expert panel. You decide. The 2026 WGN Radio's Best Deli Tournament is sponsored by Toronto Baking Company, Chicago's Bread, baking your sandwich breads, French rolls, brioche rolls, and Pane Serrano since 1962, and the mouth-puckering snap of the Puckered Pickle Company, pickles, peppers, and more. See PuckeredPickle.com, and by Coop's Mustard, the mustard America relishes, because good food needs great mustard. Let the battles begin.
Coker Insurance Group is a proud sponsor of the Workers' Mike Radio Show, right here on WGN. Coker Insurance Group works closely with the labor community, providing all service and support for the member families of the Midwest Coalition of Labor and its insurance offerings. Coker Insurance Group provides custom insurance programs and expertise with all types of insurance for businesses, including property, casualty, and group benefits. Discover why clients love working with the team at Coker Insurance Group. Visit CokerGroup.com. KOCHERGroup.com.
International Union of Operating Engineers Local 399 represents over 10,000 skilled maintenance workers in Illinois and Indiana. IUOE Local 399 members maintain commercial office buildings, hotels, hospitals, anything with four walls and a mechanical system. If you're a skilled maintenance worker interested in organizing your job site and building a better life for you and your family, call 312-372-9870, extension 5000. Public support of unions is at a historic high. Call 312-372-9870, extension 5000.
Megan Financial celebrates Union Night on the South Side. Union members, you and your crew have a shot to win tickets for an exclusive VIP South Side baseball outing on September 18th. It all starts at Cork and Kerry, where you'll catch a recording of the Workers' Mic and an all-inclusive pregame party. Then you'll head over to cheer on your first place Southsiders from the 100 level. Active and retired Union members can enter now at WGNradio.com/contests. Sponsored by Megan for Unions.
Play ball!
Looking for a better banking experience? Discover BCU, your community credit union. BCU is committed to helping you reach your financial goals with competitive rates, personalized service, and solutions designed around your life. Whether you're saving, borrowing, or planning for what's next, you'll find a team that puts people first. Ready to make the switch? Visit bcu.org, stop by your local branch, or open an account
today. 30. And experience. Yeah, two breaks is half hour.
BCU, you belong where banking is better. Visit bcu.org to get started. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Lutheran Hour began in 1930. It's the world's longest-running Christian outreach radio program. Tune in Sunday mornings at 6:30 right here on WGN.
John Hanson here. Join me at our Fall into Cash event Friday, September 18th, noon to 2.
10 seconds, standby.
Jewelry and coin buyers in Westmont. Bring in your gold, silver, or jewelry. Cashman's always buying. Details at WGNradio.com/events.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Open your heart and whisper. Tell me you love me. Tell me you love me. You love me.
James, and yes, the Skyliners. Yeah, Jimmy Bowman on lead, and Janet doing the female parts in Close Your Eyes, which when you look at it, you'll see, oh, written by Chuck Willis. That's interesting. And of course, the Five Keys had the first big hit with it in 1955 on the R&B charts. But then Peaches and Her probably had the biggest pop hit with it, number 4 on the R&B charts and 8 on the pop chart. And it was big, covered by several other people. But this is the interesting part. Yes, Chuck Willis wrote it. Kind of, sort of, maybe. Ray Noble with Al Boley on lead released an original version of Close Your Eyes in 1933. All right. Now, granted, the bottom line is that Chuck Willis would have been a very young man at the time, to say the least, I'd say probably about, I don't know, 7, 8, maybe. So whether or not he, in fact, was so inspired, I don't know. But we'll have to find that Ray Noble. I'm not sure I have it. But if I have it on this computer, we'll play it for you. That was one of Jimmy P's six-pack, by the way. And it was not like other Skyliners records of that period on Calico, because that was right about the time that Calico went bottom-up. And then Art LeBeau, a year or so later, bought the rights to everything on the label. But they went to Colpix, and it was, in fact, the Skyliners on Colpix. So there you have it. All right, so I'm sure there's more to this story, and I can't imagine what it is. But I'll try to find that that Ray Noble right about now and see. Oh, of course, yeah, Chuck Willis. My favorite, Hang Up My Rock and Roll Shoes, which I heard the other day. I want to know who it was. Oh, that's Chuck Willis. And he said, sort of reminds me a little of Lloyd Price. Well, all right, why not? His biggest hit, actually something else he didn't exactly write. Yes, C.C. Rider, traditional to say the least. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. David is in Muskegon. What's happening tonight, David?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Yeah, you know, when you read that article, I was thinking, you know, I'd like you to have somebody come on and talk about abuse of the handicapped. how families do abuse the handicap, because I was in that, kind of in that situation, and I had to get out of it.
You need a show with substance, not something like ours while we're trying to forget about us anything that it means. But I've heard some on the air, and it's absolutely something that is and should be discussed, both from the standpoint of, as we were talking about, families who had a family member abused, or from the individual like yourself. What happened in your life?
What happened is my aunt was so afraid. She had threatened my life even over this.
For what? What was she afraid of?
I married a black woman.
What?
Yes, my Aunt Dolis did.
All right, so by the way, I assume you are not a black man. You are a white man?
Yes.
Okay, and so what was the problem with interracial dating or marriage? What was the problem with your aunt?
What was her problem? She didn't like any kind of interracial dating at all.
Well,
she worked at a Family Dollar, and... believe it or not, most of the people that put her up were black, believe it or not, because she'd beg people to give her a place to stay so she didn't have to drive 18 miles to Hanover.
Oh, man.
Now, she wouldn't live in Albion, trust me, but she had a problem with any kind of interracial dating, and she wouldn't do anything to her son if he married a black woman, but me, she
would.
Well,
now, let me ask you, at the point, I would assume when you're quite young, you're not going to be marrying anybody. What happened that she fixated on this?
What happened that she fixated on this, you know, I would like to know, what happened was there was a girl I liked.
Okay.
And she got mad over it.
Okay.
Because I liked her. And I was with her. She was black and I was white.
All right.
And she didn't like it.
Well,
she had a problem with it.
That, believe me, that had nothing to do with whether you were handicapped or not. That was your aunt's prejudice. And it's unfortunate, but I don't think it played into the fact that you were or weren't handicapped.
Well, she wouldn't do the same thing to her son that she was going to have done to me, have me murdered.
Have you murdered?
Yes.
Now, that's an interesting, forget about the particulars of why. Very few people think that their direct family members are trying to kill them. Do you have any reason to believe your aunt was going to murder you?
Oh, I believe that she was going to have somebody murder me. She told me who
it
was.
Why? Not what was her reasons, but why do you feel that she, in fact, was going to be murderous?
Had me murdered? I believe it, because when she made that threat,
it was
in the car, and it was in 1990.
Okay.
And then the experience that I had afterwards, this was down at the Jackson, the bus station in Jackson, Michigan. What happened was, some guy claimed I hit him with my cane.
Okay.
He goes, I don't want one of them touching me, meaning, you know, anybody that's blind. I understood what he meant. And this officer lied and said I touched him. And it was a police officer I knew. He was a substitute teacher that I had in school in the seventh grade who didn't like me.
All right.
And so she called because he came up here trying to arrest me. And they told him if he put his hands on me, he was going to jail. And the Heights police did.
Okay.
And they knew who he was.
Okay.
And so my aunt called me. She said, the police officer, and she said who he was, came up here after you, and they was going to put him in jail. He just don't like you.
All right,
this was her tone.
Well, all right. So, but you survived it.
Yes, I did survive it.
Okay.
I had to go to the police here and everything because I had a warrant on me for my arrest because this lady went as far as because I didn't take care of my mom. She should have been in a nursing home. She was at home with my aunt, and there's nothing I could do, and I wasn't going to go there under those conditions.
All right.
And later on, I come to find out my niece, she kept calling, is everything all right, was planning on killing me.
Your niece?
She admitted it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, it's a walking soap opera. Is your niece still alive?
I don't know.
Okay. And your aunt and your mom, I assume, are no longer with us?
Nope.
All right.
They're gone.
Oh, you're safe.
My friend told me, because she said she came, they begged her to let her stay with them, because nobody would take her because of how bad my aunt was.
Oh, man. All right. Well, there you have a story. Families, unfortunately, trying to untangle those webs is near impossible. And sometimes even law enforcement or government agencies aren't much of a help and probably can't be.
Yes, but, yes, you're right. Because up in Jackson County, they wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Here, they were more helpful.
Well, good.
In Muskegon, what I did, I went to the police and I got an attorney. And
okay.
Everything that was said on the Dave Scott Show that my Aunt Dola said was right there on tape.
Now, wait a minute. Your aunt said this on what, the radio?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
She came right out on the radio, too, and said this stuff.
Uh-huh. There's a brain trust for you. All right, well, obviously it worked out to your advantage. Eventually you've got some stories to tell, and hopefully won't allow it to scar you for life.
Yeah, I mean, I'd never forget it.
Well, no, we're not asking you to forget it.
Love,
right, well,
know that they would try to hurt me.
Well, I don't want you to forget it, but I certainly wouldn't keep it at the forefront of your mind. Your life is better than that, so.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Well, good, good.
Right.
Very interesting, no doubt. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate it. All right, so that's if you're bemoaning the fact that you don't have family. Well, maybe you don't want his. All right, it really comes down to that. The old, you can choose your friends, but not your relatives. Man, oh, man. But everybody's got a story. And part of that is, I think, you know, like everyone comes from a dysfunctional home from the standpoint of we're all dysfunctional on this planet to one degree or another. But for the most part, I hope it's the case, I believe it's the case, that most people are trying their best, you know, parents and stuff like that. Occasionally you get somebody who, off the charts, not good. But for the most part, they're doing all they can with what they got, and you're best off just not dwelling on it. All right, so 888-876-5593, I found it. The Al Boley Close Your Eyes from 1933 with the Ray Noble Orchestra. Supposedly, this is what influenced Chuck Willis. Let's find out. The problem with those instrumentals, big band things, they always have the orchestra for half of it, but he's coming up soon, I do believe. No, or not.
Close your eyes, rest your head on my shoulder and sleep. Close your eyes, and I will close mine. Close your eyes. Let's pretend that we're both counting sheep. Close your eyes. Oh, this is divine.
All right, I can see where Chuck Willis probably would be able to claim copyright to his version of Close Your Eyes. Other than the title, I'm not sure that I'd say it was a direct rip for sure. But as far as Al Boley, he was British and died young, like 42 years old or whatever. He born in the late 1800s and died before World War II. He had recorded over 1,000 songs, and yeah, as far as that goes, a version of Blue Moon and Good Night, Sweetheart, you know, Close Your your eyes as you play, the very thought of you, heartaches. Yeah, if you're saying, I know all these titles, because, yeah, you betcha that rock and roll groups redid them. Yeah, the Marcells, anyone? All right, so 888-876-5593 will take us to Pete in Wisconsin. What's happening, Pete?
Hi there, Ellie. Yeah, very interesting story when you first started your show tonight.
Yeah, scary stuff. Yeah,
$28 billion, did you say?
Yes, a year.
It's going up, up, up.
Yes, well, of course, dollars right now are going up, up, up all the way around. But yes, it's an enormous amount. And the part that really should impact everyone is to realize you can't just call law enforcement and they'll make it criminal. Most of the time they will say to you, this is a civil matter, get a lawyer.
Well, I just saw a video on YouTube about some lady who got 5 years in prison.
Oh, yeah, you can. Don't get me wrong. That happens, and there are certain ways you do that. But in terms of you trying to get your title back or your money back, they're usually going to throw that into civil court.
Well, anyway, here's what we ought to have done. Nationwide, every county and every state should be federally mandated to provide a freeze for titles and deeds, a freezing form.
You know, I agree. By the way, I agree with that. And I'll tell you why. As I say, the law hasn't caught up yet with technology, because in the past, to do this, you would have to go to the county and you'd have to look up the deed. And it was a big deal. Now you can do this from your armchair. Even pictures of the property are on the screen. So it seems to me that all of these agencies, recorders and counties that are putting that information up there should have a way that they can protect you or be liable.
Well, that's, you know, there's so much with the computers and it should be more hard copy.
Well, that's, you're never going to have that. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And we'll pick it up right after this, because I think I need to do this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Eduardo's Request Survivor, 1985. And that was on Scotty Brothers. That's Jim Peterick, yeah, the guy from the Ides of March, Chicago and All the Way. And, of course, co-wrote Eye of the Tiger, which was the theme from Rocky II and has done very well over the years. But, man, when he was doing things like You Wouldn't Listen by the Ides of March, I just loved it. Yeah, and Vehicle. Man, I thought that was one of the best. Could have been a rap record. Friendly Stranger in the Beck sedan won't hop inside my car. Got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable. All right. So, yeah, I think it absolutely could have. So there you have it. And I'm glad to say he is still with us. Yeah, that's the best news of all, because far too often when we are talking about some of these people, they're gone too young. But he's still here, Western Springs, Illinois, far as I know. So, all right, 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we're going to get back to Pete in Wisconsin right after the news. So don't go away, Pete, because, again, this is a huge problem. You know, we opened the show talking about you needing to protect yourself in a situation where you're caring for an aging partner or parent, relative of some sort, how you can be swindled, and that maybe you have almost no recourse. And that's far too true. But whether you do or you don't, if you own a home, the idea of title theft is absolutely rampant. And if you think, oh, well, when it's found out, they'll just send them to jail and I'll get my property back. Well, they may send them to jail, emphasis on may. As far as getting your property back, going to take a lot of your equity to hire the law team to do it. So we'll talk about things that should happen to protect you coming up on WGN Radio. And I'm just sitting here. This is unbelievable. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Yeah, I was just trying to answer some email. Good luck to me on that, and I apologize if you wrote that I haven't done anything. Did I set up another bumper? Not a chance, and I sure meant to as well. I even knew what I was going to play because it's more Jimmy P. six-pack. So let's maybe try the jewels. How about that? A little opportunity as far as that goes. I believe that's right on the desktop for reasons that I can't fathom, but indeed it is. So another one of Jimmy P. six-packs. James said they are the jewels. Yeah, Washington, D.C., female group, Sandra Peoples and others, Margie Clark and some other gals as well. And in 1964, on Dimension, that was their hit. And not the first thing that they recorded by any means. In fact, they had been on Checker the year before, loaded with goodies, and it did absolutely nothing. And then after Opportunity hit, Checker put out a couple things. I think probably that's what they put Erasers on Pencils for, which was a flip side, got some traction, but for the most part, no, which is a shame. They were on King and Federal for a while, but really, Opportunity is a medley of their big hits anyway, and that was one of Jimmy P's six-pack. Now, back to Pete in Wisconsin. Title theft. You're right, yeah. Pete. It is so easy to sit from your armchair and get all the information you need to rip anybody off, and as much as I'd like to endorse your idea, we should go back to some type of, you know, hard copy and physical documentation. It's not going to happen. So our next best...
Well, it
should. Yeah, well, it won't. It just won't.
Well,
but our next best...
The freeze form should have fingerprints
of the
property owner.
Yeah, there's
owners.
There's probably several things that could be done along those lines. A lot of people are loath to give out fingerprints for privacy and security reasons, which I get. But you're 100% right. I'm on the same page, maybe not in the same way, that we need much more protection against the title holders in this situation because they make it far too easy for thieves. I agree.
Well, it's another protection racket is what it is. That's the new business model. Protection
well,
racket,
you know, that's fun. Yeah,
insurance,
right.
Insurance.
Right, exactly.
This protection
right.
Racket. Protection racket.
That's a good way to look at it, and I more than understand it. Now, given the realities of today, that might be the easiest road for many people to take, but I firmly agree that with all the counties are doing to put things online, they have the responsibility to protect the property holder. I'm with you.
Well, you can freeze credit nationwide. You should be able to freeze titles
yes.
and deeds nationwide.
Yes, agreed.
Or, of course, through your own county.
Well,
every county can be federally codified.
Yeah, the
situation. If I had money, I would run for Congress.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, good luck. Maybe we'll vote for you if you decide to change your mind. Thanks.
Too late now.
All right. Well, you never know. It's never too late. You look at the age of people who are denizens of Washington, and it's never too late. But, yeah, I think they're, the counties bear some responsibility for how this happened. I cringe at the thought of federalizing things for all the reasons that you might know politically, none of which we'll discuss on this show. But the reality is you have such good credit protection just because of that. And that's why I always say, whatever you do, don't use a debit card. Yeah, use your credit cards. You've got a lot of protection. With your debit cards, you've got the goodwill of the bank. And that's literally the deal. But yeah, you should have more more protection on this. And again, the most alarming part isn't when you're victimized by this, is finding out that it may never be prosecuted criminally, and even if it is, your path to get your title back or your money back or whatever is going to be civil lawsuits, which means you're going to front that. Yeah, there's very few lawyers that'll take that on a contingency. So yeah, it is a problem. All right, Robert is in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh. You know what? I just had a question about the song "Close Your Eyes" that you played a while back. That was done. Did you say that was done by the Skyliners?
Yeah, in 1961 on Colgjum's Culpix. It was not a hit for them. The guy who wrote it was Chuck Willis. You know, the guy who did CC Rider, and he wrote it in 1955, and the Five Keys recorded it and immediately had a hit, and it was a great record. And then several other people recorded it, but the next big time it was a hit, probably the biggest, was Peaches and Herb.
Oh, okay, yeah. But what I really wanted to know about those, is that the same group that did Since I Don't Have
Yes,
You?
Of course. Of course.
Oh, must have been a different lead singer.
That absolutely is Jimmy Beaumont.
That was Jimmy Beaumont also. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
And Janet was the gal, the voice, the female.
Oh, okay. And I remember they had one more charted song, I remember, song Pennies from Heaven.
Actually, a bigger hit than Pennies from Heaven was This I Swear.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
There were others as well. Really, really nice stuff. Jimmy Beaumont was great. And, of course, he loved R&B. Oh. And Janet Vogel was wonderful, too. And, sadly, she killed herself later. And that was a whole sad story. They had a number of hits. And, boy, they kept Calico on the map. And, of course, later it went belly up.
I remembered Close Your Eyes kind of vaguely. I was still a preteen yet then, but then I, of course, Since I Don't Have You, and it just sounded a little, quite a bit different,
Since I Don't Have You, then This I Swear, and then the third on Calico was called It Happened Today, and after that, the fourth one was Pennies from Heaven, and then How Much and Believe Me, and that's pretty much all they had on Calico, but then the first thing they did on Culpix was I'll Close My Eyes, and then right after that, they did Close Your Eyes.
Oh, wow. So they switched labels. I didn't realize.
Well, they had to. Culpix, Calico folded. They had to switch labels because that was Lou Guarino and Lenny Martin in Pittsburgh, and they went belly up. And so about 61, the end of 61, and so thereabouts, and then Art LeBeau bought the rights in 62. But, they went from Calico to Culpix, and after Culpix, they were on a number of things. Their version of Since I Fell for You on Atco is one of my favorite records.
Oh, yeah.
It's a beautiful version of that song. But, they were later on Jubilee. I mean, they were Virgo. Capitol. No shortage of labels for the Skyliners.
Oh, yeah. I remember Lenny Welch.
Right. It's the same record redone by the Skyliners. Beautiful version. I'll try to play that for you.
Oh, great. Yeah, because that goes pretty far back. I was quite young then.
Well, it was 63, actually. It was after their hits. So,
I was in high school already. Yeah. I should have remembered.
Right.
That one,
but it didn't get much play, unfortunately. It should have.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was great. But obviously, Lenny Welch owned it, no doubt about it. But they did a real nice version of it. And what's interesting is Lenny Welch also covered Since I Don't Have You. And he did a wonderful version of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but did he have, I don't know, were there, of course, I guess there were probably copyrights in those days, too, so where they had to be careful of which song they recorded.
Well, no, once a song has been recorded the first time, you have no control as a writer or publisher of who records it after that.
Oh, I see.
You as a writer publisher, you have the right to that first record, and that's so important because obviously, if you're a songwriter and you want a big hit, you're pitching. You know, the Elvis is the world. Bad example because he'll take your publishing, but somebody else, Charlie Rich or whoever, you get the first one.
Oh, sure, you want it to sell.
Yes, but the minute you have given the rights for the first cut of it by somebody, then anyone, anywhere in the world can cut it. They just have to pay the standard ASCAP royalties or BMI or CSAC like that. That's it.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's how it works.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whoever the copyright holder is, the publisher has a lot more clout than the writer in this. That's why it's really important that writers, and it happens so often that a group will write a song and they'll give the publishing to the label owner like a Moish Levy. Man, publishing is a license to steal, and you are controlling it. So it's very important to know where your publishing is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because then it's out in the open there. You know.
Well, right, and as publisher, you can make deals for all sorts of licensing, like for commercials or use in video or, you know, radio, TV, film. Well, radio not, but film.
Oh, sure, a lot of commercials use popular
songs. Exactly, and it's the publisher who is arranging those deals.
Oh, okay, great.
So that's why you care and you don't want to give up much of your publishing rights. You know, that's something Dick Clark used to make you do all the time. If you were on Bandstand, give him some publishing. It was a fairly common thing. Alan Freed used to do it. They all did. But label owners notoriously would hold back the publishing, and writers who were just band members or whatever would have no idea what they were giving away.
Wow. Well. Okay, thanks a lot for clearing that up.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye now.
And I think that would be a nice idea. We'll play the Skyliners doing Since I Fell For You and Lenny Welch doing Since I Don't Have You. And both were really nice recordings. Well, I thought anyway. So we got Gene in Dalton here in moments. And so welcome back to WGN Radio, Gene.
Hello, good morning to you, good afternoon. It's a new day.
Yeah, how are you guys?
We're doing pretty good. I wanted to tell you I waited after midnight because if my dear husband was living, we'd be married 71 years today, September 10th of 55.
Wow, well, congratulations.
Oh, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, I've been listening. And I said to myself, I've told you before, you've got the patience of the saint and the stamina of Goliath. And your IQ, I wonder what it is because you know so much.
I'm losing points by the day. I can assure you of that.
Oh, no, not you. No. You'll be 200 and you'll still be
please.
As good as you are today. That's wonderful. You know, I was wondering if you could play, Don't Forget About Me. And it was by the Les Paul Trio. And if you have that, I would appreciate that. And the other one, you know, I love my Bing Crosby. But, you know, I listened last night to classic radio and he had a song, called the Philco Radio Hour with Bing Crosby.
Uh-huh.
And the song that I don't have, You Are So Beautiful by Bing Crosby, and it was his Philco show, I think he said 1946, if not it was 1948. And I'm wondering if there's a you know, a recording of that. I bet there is.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
There were songs on there, on the Philco Hour, that, you know, aren't on mine. Mine is lovely. But anyway, it's real pretty. That's the one thing that his voice was real mellow, but I just liked it, you know, real much.
Yeah.
And
I think the full title was You Are So Beautiful to Me, and that was released in 1946.
Oh, okay, 46. I had 46 down when I was going to talk to you.
Yep.
You know, I did it real quick last night. And I don't see well at all. So, you know, going blind and old, you know how it is. You know, I hear some of your ladies calling in. So, we're all in the same boat. After you get so many years, things come in. I was doing real well till last year, and then with that operation, I got moved up. But anyway, that's life, you know. And I was too melancholy this weekend, and I said, I have to get out of it.
Yes.
You know, when you lose all your brothers and sisters, and I'm going through my wedding and pictures and so forth, and I says, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. Because it's just memories, you know, many.
Well, it is. But you're so fortunate.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your daughter, your granddaughter, your great-grandson, and you've still got a lot of people around you.
Oh, you see him. Yeah. You know, he was 9 months yesterday.
Great.
And he's like almost like a year and a half, and he's walking now. You know, he's moving, and oh my gosh, he's so bright. And I do miss him, but you know, Elizabeth has a little bit of that postpartum business. You know, she has to get her act together.
Sure.
And she's it's really rough, and it was rough on me because, you know, with the baby and everything, and it was like, after a while.
Sure.
So my grandson picked her up and took her for a week to Valparaiso, where he lives, and she enjoyed it there, and they went many places, you know, which we two old ladies can't do anymore. So that was nice, and then she went back to New York, and So we talk every day. She sends pictures every day. And, but he's adorable. I love his eyes. He's got the most expressive eyes.
That's great.
They say so much, you know. You can tell when he's sad. You can tell when he's upset. And I like that.
That's great.
His eyes. Yeah, so I enjoyed it.
Good.
But anyway, Raleigh, you know, I wish you and John so much, you know, for the future for both of you. You know, because you went through the stroke and everything like I did, and all the I had the cancers and everything. But anyway.
Well, you know, absolutely. It's always good to hear from you. You are truly an inspiration, and I mean that most sincerely. And I don't know if I'm going to find Les Paul, but I'm sure I will find Bing Crosby. And if it's not tonight, it'll definitely be tomorrow night.
Oh, nice of you. Yes, because Les Paul, I didn't like all his, you know, music.
Right.
But there's a few things that I do have on an old disc. Yeah, I think out of the old disc, I only have two, and it's not that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So many people covered Don't Forget About Me, so trying to find the original. I'll see. It might be on here. Who knows? If it is, you'll hear it.
Oh, it's not just the original, because I just don't have it.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about, you know, it was a memory.
Yeah, absolutely.
A long time ago. Yeah. You know, did you ever find, I never did listen the night after we talked about, if there was ever a song with the last moment in, did you find something that anybody, I mean, there's so much music out there, and you know so much about the music. There has to be something and some melody. It's so easy to write with it. I'm not a writer. My daughter is. But there must be a song that has something with last moment in it.
Yeah, and you know, I forgot about that entirely. I will absolutely admit that I'm sure there's a number of songs like that. And in fact, there's songs titled that, The Last Moment, but I know they're not what you're looking for. I know they're not what you're looking for. And you know, there's like Until the Last Moment and stuff like that. But that's like Yanni. That's not going to be something but there was a Susan Hayward record with Bob Cummings, of all things. Love that Bob, good old Bob Cummings, who had a song, The Last Moment. And
oh my goodness.
It was part of a movie. I think the movie was called The Last Moment, and it was like a psychological thriller or something.
But, I'm going to have Kimberly look that up. You know, I like Susan Hayward. I think I've seen every one of her movies.
Yeah.
That's how much I liked her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
it
came out, I think, in 47, and so it had a lot of people in that. And let me see if I can't find any of that here. Because that's the one I'm thinking of that might be close to what you remember, but I'm not sure. Now, of course, I've got the entire movie here, but hopefully we can get some screen credits or something. Agnes Moorehead was in it, too.
And I played it today, and I like that.
Good.
I can't get Mark Chestnut, though.
Ah.
The only place that he is so hard to get.
Well, check out The Last Moment. It's on YouTube, and you can see the whole movie.
I will, yeah. Oh, wonderful. I'll have Kimberly do that.
Okay.
I'll have that for tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Oh, all right. Okay, and you take care.
You too.
And you know what? Be careful, I want to tell you, be careful with Amazon. We had a very bad thing happen to us Labor Day.
What?
You know, I get all my medical stuff, you know, with my business.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And from Amazon. Okay, somebody got in to, you know, my number on Amazon, and big thing came, some big thermos thing. You know, we're two elderly ladies to lift, we don't lift that big stuff. And got it. It came out of my account, and they're not even going to pick it up. And I'm quite upset over it.
They
want us to take it to UPS, and so I've still got it because I'm still going to somehow argue it.
I tell you, the easiest thing with them is to take it to a UPS store. They have a label. You don't even have to wrap it. You just take the label and the item to a UPS store, and they credit you the same day.
That's awful, though.
Yeah, well,
I wonder how they got in there.
Well, I don't know, but I would be very careful ordering medicine. Be very careful about that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're cheaper on a lot of things.
Oh, I know.
That's the thing.
Yeah, but...
See, I never took that plan, you know, back when I was in my 60s, you know, that substitute plan, you know.
Yeah.
And then with Lyle being on the railroad,
I
have United Healthcare that I pay $275 plus the $200 with Medicare. So, you know, I'm in big time with insurance.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, you know, I'm not going to buy a medicine plan now. And I did call about it. But I would have to go back till I was 62 years old.
No, you're not going to do that. And by the way, a lot of what you want isn't even covered by it. So it's not a good deal. Not a good deal.
No. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'd be a fool.
Yes.
You know, I'm going more on 93 than I am anything else. You know, I'm in that 100 before you know it. I said, no. But I was, you know, God's been good to me. I've been healthy, you know. I never needed the medicine. I never took medicine. I sat Alka-Seltzer in my bank for all those years.
There you are.
And until last year. And so I've been fortunate, you know, Raleigh. I mean, I really have. So it was a long road, but, you know, it's been, you know, I'm here.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's good to talk to you.
All of us.
All right. Well, thanks, Jean. Appreciate it.
Okay, Raleigh.
Okay, bye.
Okay, you take care, and thank you again.
Absolutely. All right,
and
we are in the news, as you can guess, and right after that, we will be back to it on WGN Radio.
Well, you. Same.
That wasn't supposed to happen. All right, so that is Since I Fell for You, which is, of course, in this case, the Skyliners, originally done by Lenny Welch. Now, that was 1963 on ATCO for the Skyliners. But 10 years later, on Mainstream in 1973, Lenny Welch did the Skyliners' big hit, Since I Don't Have You.
When you walk down on me, in walk the misery. And it's been here since then. And I don't have hopes and dreams. And I don't have plans and schemes. I don't.
Great. So there you have it. Two artists doing each other's hit songs. 888-876-5593. We got one more bumper to go, and I promised Jay from Cincinnati we'd give him the swimming song. Yeah, Loudon Wainwright III. And you will hear that. So 888-876-5593. I just realized when I saw Victor's name on the screen that last night, about 4 a.m., I did get an email from Nick, who is, went through the surgery, is doing well, but it's going to be a long rehab. So broke his femur, of all things. So he will remain in our prayers, and as soon as he can, I hope he will be calling, and I will try to give him a call, too. So, all right, Victor, have you heard anything else?
No, I haven't, but he called me today, and we had a long talk. He's telling me, you know, how good the food is, and
yeah,
how nice the nurses are, and he says that he's glad that I'm there for him.
Of course.
He enjoys talking to me, and I told him I'd try and call the show tonight. So
great.
Hey, Nick, if you're listening, hi there. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, we're thinking about you and glad the food is good.
Yeah. Anyway, did I ever tell you how I got involved with the truckers?
No. I know, by the way, I know it wasn't driving.
Huh?
I say, I know it wasn't driving.
No. But one trucker made me an honorary trucker, but he told me I can't drive his rig.
Well, for good reason.
Yeah. Anyhow, I couldn't sleep one night, and I had WLW on, and I heard Steve Summers for the first time, and really liked the show, and started calling in as Blind Man.
Okay.
And one thing led to another, and another trucker known as Brain Dead made me an honorary trucker.
Excellent.
And I said, how did you get that nickname? He said he got lost in Illinois, and he asked the cop for directions, and the cop said, that's the biggest brain-dead excuse I ever heard. And I know him personally, along with three or four others. Another guy I used to know, Chevy guy.
Uh-huh.
He drove a logging truck from the mills to the paper mills so they could be made in the paper. And another trucker hauled explosives, and his handle is horse feathers.
Oh, nice.
And he used to haul propane from the distributor to the various dealers, but he got another job now, works during the day hauling explosives to the quarries in Pennsylvania.
Whoa.
And it's really, some of these truckers have interesting stories.
Oh, of course, of course. And it's changed so much over the years. If you talk to some of the guys who've been on the road for 50 years or so, it's a whole different world.
Yeah, that's I know several that have retired.
Yeah.
monkey gouger, retired recently, mm-hmm. so he's enjoying himself, and Chevy guy's retired. I really enjoy talking to these guys, and when I do get on the show, I contribute from anything from politics to whatever, you know, TV shows or movies they're talking about. And I do speaking of a 1 minute or last minute, there was a trilogy of books that came out, I think it was in the late 90s or something, somewhere in that time frame, where a nuclear bomb was set off about 100 miles above and fried all the electrical outlets. So
a pulse bomb, sure.
Yes. And how people survived and slowly but surely.
Yeah.
In the last book, I think it was called
One Second After.
Yeah, well, there's 1 second after, 1 minute after, and one hour after.
Yeah, 1 year after. One second after, 1 year after, the final day.
Yeah. That was an interesting book.
Well, I've been surprised that we haven't, I'm grateful we haven't, but I've been very surprised that no one has, in fact, detonated a pulse bomb, because it would be so relatively easy to black us out. And I pray to God nobody does, but it's amazing to me that we still have not been victimized by that.
Yeah, and I hope steps are taken to...
Don't we all wish, but we don't do much. You know, we don't harden our infrastructure. We're sitting ducks. Most of our electricity is, still overhead, and on the list is. We literally are sitting ducks.
Right. I know in 2010, the power kept going off every time somebody sneezed, and Pepco came through. And replaced all the poles and the wiring. Now the power doesn't go off unless they're working on the purple line.
Yeah.
So I lose the power for an hour or two, but I was sweating bullets when the power was off for 48 hours.
Sure.
And the first rule was never open the refrigerator or the freezer during a power outage, because you don't know when it's going to come back.
You're absolutely right, you don't.
And I was fortunate that the food did not spoil.
Good.
And but I know the refrigerator ran for 24 hours straight.
It could do that. Yeah, it could absolutely do that, but it would hold.
Yeah. And I can't believe that I still have this Sears Kenmore refrigerator. I bought it in 97, and it's still working.
Oh, sure it is. I'm not surprised at all. A lot of the good old American-made stuff, and Kenmore was, usually a couple major manufacturers like Maytag or I don't know who in 79.
Frigidaire, I think.
Okay, Frigidaire was big for them. So those are solid companies.
Yeah, and RCA made the electronics for Sears.
Yeah, a lot of it. So, if anybody has Sears stuff, you can look at the first three digits on the model number tag, and you'll know. You can look online and see absolutely who. So, like in the 90s, if it started with 106, that's a Whirlpool. If it started with 253, that's a Frigidaire. You know, 363 is GE. So, your model number will tell the story.
Right. And I remember... my father got a color television. He finally broke down and got one in 65 when somebody told him you could see the flight of the football a lot
all
better.
Right.
And I remember the guy had to come every so often to degauss the TV
right.
because it picked up magnetic or something.
But by 65, at least, it was fairly stable. If he wanted to do that, you know, a good 10 years earlier, oh, my dear God. In 1950, CBS had a mechanical system, and it was just ridiculous. In 53, that's when they gave us NTSC, which I always said stood for Never Twice Same Color. But still, there were issues with that, to say the least. And
You wouldn't believe how bad it was when CBS went color. Oh. I mean, the faces were orange.
You had a lot of that. But, you know, and some of them were, you know, said were backward compatible for black and white. And I said, what else are you selling me? And so on and on.
You know what was so funny was I was spending Christmas with my uncle and his girlfriend, and the girlfriend had an 8-year-old daughter, and we're watching TV, and they showed a black and white clip.
Right.
And she says, Mom, when did they invent black and white TV?
That's great. Yeah.
And we had to explain to her, you know, that it was black and white and then color.
And
RCA was the first one to really push color.
Yeah, well, that's because they
owned NBC,
right.
I think, at the time.
Right, they had the NTSC. That was an RCA development, so sure, they were pushing that.
And then ABC was the next one to go color. I remember in 61, they started off showing the cartoons, Bugs Bunny and Top Cat and a whole bunch of other cartoons in color. And Nick was telling me that Channel 13 in Baltimore, they didn't have the color equipment for a while. And all these movies and TV shows that were in color, well, they were showing them in black and white until they finally got the color equipment.
Right. Absolutely. No, it was over many years and many, many programs. And it really wasn't until well into the 60s that it was pretty much a standard.
And then in 65, I think it was 64, my mother clipped an article out in the newspaper that said, from this point forward, Congress passed the All Channel Act, which meant that every single TV manufactured from this point on must include UHF.
Right, absolutely. And rather than just have a little faceplate over the hole, but of course it dialed in like it was the radio. And you had to have the loop antenna, which the grocery stores would give away for free. But and of course, back then the system went up to channel 83. And and the bottom line is it was UHF because it was ultra expensive on electricity.
Oh, was it ever?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, and most of those, in some smaller markets, you had U's that were network affiliates. But in your major markets, your U's were going to be independent stations. And yeah, that was just ridiculously expensive. And if you look at the records, there were so many U's that went on and went off between the 50s and the 70s that you'd shake your head.
Right. I remember I was listening to a Philadelphia station. At the time, it was WCAU. And
sure.
They had this show called The Trading Post, and people were looking for converter boxes so they could get the new UHF channels that just came on in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, man, did they ever. Yeah, so sure, it was a rollout that really took the better part of two decades to be complete. And now, of course, it's somewhat irrelevant, as very few people, you know, comparatively, get their television from over-the-air signals.
It's all on cable, I believe.
Well, cable is actually hurting. Most of it's streaming.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why cable has, as you've noticed from their commercials over the last several years, all they're touting is their broadband. Get your gigabit broadband. They don't tell you that the upstream's 30 megs. But other than that lie, the idea of just doing it for the CATV portion, that's not too hot anymore.
Yeah, it took a lot of power to operate the UHF stations.
And yeah.
Some of them bragged about 5 million watts of power.
Yeah.
WPHL TV.
Right, and they meant it. And yes, you pay that bill every month.
Yeah. So anyway, it was nice talking
Likewise,
to you.
Likewise, always
good. Let somebody else get on. And,
yeah.
Thanks for taking my call tonight.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. I think the 5 million watts of power, by the way, didn't come from Channel 17, which was PHL. It was TAF, Channel 29. Yeah, who, 5 million watts of power. Yeah, and that was WTAF TV 29, which is on the air now as a Fox station, TFX, I think. And so it was 75 when Channel 29 upgraded that transmitter to 5 million effective radiated power watts. That's not what they were, obviously. Effective radiated power watts, you're not putting in your forward power, isn't going to be 5 million watts. But it's still going to be pretty pricey, to say the least. And but as far as PHL, they launched about 65, and I think, 626,000 watts of ERP. And then they went to 1 million watts a year later and all that. But again, this is ERP. This is not forward power. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Loud and Wainwright III is coming up next on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Jay in Cincinnati wanted Loud and Wainwright III, the swimming song on Columbia, 1973, and he got it. All right, so I've got what? I guess I've got 20 seconds. Apologies to Donna in Oaklawn. Oh, she's got a title theft story or advice on same. Call me tomorrow night, Donna. And likewise, Johnny in Durham has a request. And if you call me tomorrow night, I guarantee you I will play it, if I can find it, that is. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Do it again tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Credit card crook plus Coke storage shock and spewing the fat. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 news, real stories, real fun. Plastic pilferer, Brooklyn's got a break-in bargain hunter. Cops say a midnight marauder smashed into a Borough Park home, swiped mail stuffed with a 36-year-old victim's credit cards, then peeled away in a white Jeep Cherokee. Investigators say the pilfering plastic pusher promptly went on a citywide spending spree. Apparently breaking and entering wasn't enough. He wanted reward points too. Powder room raid. New York cops crack a colossal cocaine cache in Queens. More than 580 pounds of powder worth $10 million packed into boxes at a Long Island City storage facility. Authorities say a New Jersey man was busted loading the alleged cartel-connected cargo into a van. It's the NYPD's biggest cocaine seizure in at least a decade. That's one storage unit that won't be getting its security deposit back. Yo quiero blado hell. Can't we all just get a thong? Girls gone riled, breaking out at Tacos El Gordo in San Diego late one Saturday night. And it all started with a posse of pugnacious plus-size patrons in skimpy black outfits. Sunday morning scrumming down brought a brigade of boys in blue, who unleashed generous portions of pepper spray and taser jolts. No one seems to know what frighting like girls was all about, but Taco Quell wound up with a few fellas joining the fiesta cuffs too. Fought so libre. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.